Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 4330.
Identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
I'm going to go with, I think my father had the biggest influence on me in more ways than one. Not only just typical paternal love and that kind of thing, but he taught me to be a creative person, to explore intellectually, and to take calculated risks in your life when you think it's appropriate. And I, in a way, followed in his footsteps, even though we kind of took different paths.
How would you describe yourself as a human being?
Well, as a human being, I'm a certain height and a certain weight. I'm a Caucasian male. But I think the question is more of who am I in terms of character. I'm a kind of person who likes to learn. I've always been good at school, but not for the sake of grades, just because of innate curiosity. I'm very entrepreneurial, and I like to help my friends out whenever I can. I think that's the most rewarding thing, when you realize something that you've done has improved somebody's life.
What types of things make you happy?
That's a tough question. I don't know. I think the simple things make me happy. I like to travel, so going to a new place, eating amazing food, or getting together with your friends and just having a wonderful conversation and knowing that you're part of a network of caring human beings that exist on this earth.
What types of things make you sad?
The prospect of double-digit inflation. I work in the defense industry, so I get a lot of inside information that probably would make a lot of people sad. Yeah, I also studied economics, so I guess I'm kind of a Chicken Little these days when it comes to the prospect of my generation over the next 20 years. That kind of thing really makes me sad. Rainy days, I kind of get over those really quick. Little things don't really get on my nerves. It's more of a big picture stuff. I don't know if that's better or worse in terms of mental health.
Describe the world you come from and how that world shaped who you are.
I really created my own world. When I finished undergraduate, I wanted to go into publishing in New York and just was a little turned off by the attitude. So I guess I was about 22, and I just bought a one-way ticket to Eastern Europe and started a business out there and really learned how to live on my own in a completely new culture. And then kept going to more obscure and remote places and really experienced what the rest of the world is like and how we Americans are perceived as a people and what it's like to live in politically repressed conditions or impoverished conditions. And after a while, I guess about 6 years, I came back and decided I wanted to make a difference. And that's why I changed careers and went to graduate school.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
I'm not sure. That's a tough thing to ask of oneself, but I would say I'm a really skilled public speaker. I was the commencement speaker for my university, just by election, not by virtue of, the class president asked me to do it. I didn't win an election. I kind of misspoke there. And I've always been at ease in large groups of people, and I've been confident enough to present myself or present an idea or do what it takes. I have no stage fright. I think it comes from being in a band when I was a kid. My dad kind of pushed me up on stage with a guitar before I knew how to really play it.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
I think integrity is the most admirable quality a person can have. And when somebody understands the value of themselves, the value of the relationships around them, and the value of their place in the world, I think people tend to do less dishonest things, and they think about where they are, who they are, and what they're doing, and they realize that letting other people down is probably the worst thing you can do, whether you're in a professional situation or in a personal relationship. And I think that if we had a little bit more of that, we would all be better off.
What quality do you like best in yourself, and what do you like least?
It's very easy for me to make new friends. I've always found that wherever I go, I build up a really great group of friends and seem to be able to maintain them for long periods of time. I suppose the thing that I like least about myself is I have an itinerant personality and I get bored easy, so sometimes I just change tracks a little too easily. But I think that's changing now that I've gotten a little older.
What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
I don't know how they did it, because we weren't a particularly religious family, but I was instilled with a sense of social morality and social justice. And I think it comes maybe from my father's ethics and my mother's more spiritual street sense. I guess that's how I would describe it. But I've always been taught to think through situations and do the right thing, even though that's maybe not in your best interest immediately. But if you do the right thing in the long term, it'll always work out.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
I wish I spent more time with my family. We've kind of dispersed. Two of my sisters live on the East Coast, and my parents live in the Southwest now. So when we all get together for holidays, we just really, I don't know what we do. We play with my nieces and nephews a lot nowadays, but before we just joke around, talk. We have an ancient family card game we play, have a few cocktails, just nothing in particular, but just, you know, family stuff.
Tell me about the most cherished present you ever received for your birthday or holiday, and tell me why this gift was so special.
I'm not really somebody who values material things, but I was very lucky when I was a kid. Instead of having a birthday party or getting gifts, my folks would take us on little trips, like weekend trips. We went to one. I grew up in a different city on the East Coast, but one weekend we came to Washington, D.C. We'd go to museums, sometimes amusement parks, petting zoos. It was always very educational, always very fun. And I think that helped develop my sense of curiosity and a desire to go see the wider world within me. So I would consider those gifts, and I cherish the traits that I'm left with as a result.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
Well, where does your childhood start and end? I really liked being physically active as a kid, so swinging around, climbing trees, roughhousing. Yeah, I did a lot of dangerous things when I was a kid that I would never, ever do now, or allow any child around me to do. But other than that, I really loved reading. And I guess those two things, reading, physical activity, riding a bike, I just had loads and loads of books. So those kind of things. And I was really close with my sister, so I always had somebody to roughhouse with and play with.
What is your favorite book?
That's a tough question. It's hard for me to say. I studied literature in undergrad, but I've kind of strayed away from creative literature, and I really only read nonfiction these days just because of school and now work kind of forces me to read a lot.
What type of sports do you like to watch?
I'm not a huge sports fan. I don't own, like, a jersey. I don't clear my schedule on Sundays to watch football or anything. But I really like baseball. The local team is doing pretty good. I loved baseball when I was a kid. I would stay up late. I had a little radio with Spider-Man on it, and I would listen to games way past my bedtime. It really stuck with me, so whenever I can get to the park, I like to go watch the local sports team. They're doing pretty well. And, so I like baseball, and I really like football. My dad's a big football fan, so I guess we kind of bond whenever we get together during that season, too. I was a lacrosse player, and I hate watching it. It's the most boring sport to watch in the world. Fun to play, stupid to watch. I'm sorry. I have to admit that to the world.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
Yeah. Somebody told me I looked like Joe Scarborough, but I think they'd never seen him before, and it was just because of my new glasses. But that was the most recent one. Other than that, I don't know. I can't think of anyone.
Evaluate a significant experience, achievement, risk you have taken, or ethical dilemma you have faced, and its impact on you.
Well, I guess back in my 20s, I might have touched on this before. I had a friend of a friend who was living in a developing post-Soviet country in the Caucasus region, and he needed my help to start a little media company. And after a while, I just decided to go there, and I bought a one-way ticket. This was after having lived abroad for a while, and I had no real job and no way back home. I didn't have enough money, and I had a 14-day visa before I was deported. But I hit the ground running. I kind of made friends. I knew where to go. I knew what crowds to work, and eventually wound up working in the oil industry, and I had $300 in my boots because I was afraid the cops at the airport were going to shake me down. And then I left with, like, tons of money after about a year. It's pretty awesome. And then, I didn't get a job right away, so I should have saved more, but we don't have time machines. So that was really cool, and it really forged who I was because it was a completely new culture. I started learning a new language. I learned about an industry, I learned about global economics, and I made incredible friends. So I think that experience was pretty impactful.
Choose a prominent person, either living, deceased, or fictional, whom you would like to interview and explain why.
Well, I think the obvious one for me would probably be the president, the current president, Barack Obama, but he gets interviewed all the time, so I don't know what I would ask him that nobody else would, especially since I didn't really think about it. But there's one historical character that I've always been curious about. It's an ancient Roman named Scipio Africanus, and he was pretty young, a few years younger than me, when he decided to take a big risk and really take on militarily the one guy who was perceived and still perceived to be the best general who's ever lived while his country was on the brink of complete collapse. And through perseverance, smart allocation of resources, and delegation, he won. And I've always been fascinated about what was going through his head when he left. Was it just complete brazen arrogance? Was it measured confidence, or was it complete and total fear? And what drives somebody to continue to move forward under those extreme conditions?
Recall an occasion when you took a risk that you now know was the right thing to do.
Going to graduate school was a pretty big risk for me. I had to take a big loan, move around the world. I did my first year in a European country, and I didn't know if I would fit in back in school or what would happen afterwards, and I took on a very large debt burden. And I think intellectually, it really made me into the person I am now. It was an amazing 2 years, and although I'm not sure how things are going to work out financially, I'm so glad that I did it. I wouldn't be the same person if I didn't. And it wasn't just a capstone on a career or an education. It allowed me to completely pivot and change directions in my life for the better. So I'm going to go with that.
Is there a work of art, piece of music, scientific phenomenon, mathematic theory, or a piece of literature that has surprised or unsettled or challenged you, and in what way?
You know, I'm sure I could probably think of an example of all of these, but I remember I was pretty young, and the Voyager satellite, well, it's not a satellite, the Voyager space vehicle was passing by Jupiter or Saturn or one of the outer gassy giant planets, and my family was talking about it, and later on, my dad explained to me that it's going to keep going, and it's never going to stop, and explained that your children's 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 ex blah 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 blah, and this thing will keep going into nothingness for infinity. And it really, in an instant, I reflected on the ephemeral quality of human life and how people throw around the term insignificant a lot, but I just don't think that's true because everything is relative. But just how small one person is and how vast everything around them is and how unknowable everything can be, and I just really struggled with that. And I think that was the last time I just started crying for no reason. I just couldn't wrap my head around it, and I just started crying. I must have been 11 years old, maybe younger.
Of everything in the world, what would you like to be doing right now?
Besides sleeping? I guess professionally, I feel like I'm going through a little bit of a hiatus right now, but I really like the stuff that I'm doing. I just wish I were doing it a little bit higher level. I want to be in a position, really, these days where I can make an impact and help the United States pursue its interests and grow its economy at a greater rate to help more Americans. I think we're going through a relatively tough time right now. That's why I went to graduate school, and maybe I'll get the chance to do it, but that's really what I would like to be doing right now.
What is your favorite dinner?
When I lived in Texas, my roommate and very close friend, who I'd known for many years, was a chef in a fine dining restaurant I totally couldn't afford. And I met this girl at a wedding, and he set it up so that I would go to this almost Michelin-starred restaurant where I knew all the waiters and waitresses because I would come hang out there after hours and help polish wine glasses, and we'd just play dominoes, and they'd give me a few free glasses of exquisite wine. And so when I went in with this date, they treated me as if I were a regular VIP. The chef came out and sat down with us. They said certain things like, oh, this customer doesn't actually pay per glass. We'll just leave the bottle on the table. You know, we did like a multi-course tasting menu that wasn't listed. And there were so many elements that night that were pretty amazing. And I wound up falling in love with that girl. So things turned out. It was more than the food. If you asked me what was on the menu, I probably couldn't tell you because there were so many things. It was so many years ago.
What is something you wish you could do, but you can't?
You know, I think there's fun answers like, oh, I wish I could fly, I wish I could travel in time, I wish I could be invisible. My mother's going blind right now, and I don't have kids. And there's 100% chance when they're born that she will never know what they look like. So if I could do anything, I would give my mother her sight back. That's probably what I would do.
What is your favorite season, and why?
I love the autumn. The change of weather, the leaves rustling, the crisp breeze, it smells a little bit different. And Halloween is a lot of fun. But I just like that harvest feeling where it's almost a bittersweet end to something that everybody traditionally enjoys spring and summer. And you kind of know the dusk is on its way, and I just like it. I don't know. Hay rides, that kind of stuff. I'm a sucker for it.
What matters to you most?
That's a very open question. I think what matters to me most is that I feel fulfilled in my life, and I think I derive that from helping other people succeed or other people come into their own.
What's the funniest thing that ever happened to you?
Funny can be construed as coincidental. When I was a teenager, I won a writing contest, and I got the opportunity to spend some time in Ireland, in very rural Ireland. So a town with, I think, 500 or 600 residents. And I made a bunch of friends, and it was great, as you do when you're a teenager. Did farm work, went to pubs underage because it didn't matter. And one of the guys we met came to my house the next summer, and it was like my senior year of high school. And we really hit it off. But it was before Facebook and before email, so he posted one letter to our family afterwards thanking us for hosting him and saying he had a great time, and then we completely lost touch. And a few years later, a friend and I just decided one summer to go to the United Kingdom to work. And we went to Scotland. And I was working in a bar and doing construction work. And my friend got a job cooking breakfast in a kitchen. And we were impoverished. We pretty much we paid rent week to week, and half would go to rent. And the other half we'd spend on one night out and then just eat Snickers bars and French fries the rest of the week to sustain ourselves. And one night, so we had this coincidental, we both weren't working, and we were waiting in line somewhere, I think it was like to get pizza late at night, and we heard these guys speaking with an Irish accent, so we started talking to them, and we said, oh, you know, a long time ago we went to Ireland, and you guys are from Ireland, isn't that funny? We were in the West, and they said, oh, we're from the West. And then we said, well, we were in County Cork. And they were like, oh, we live in County Cork. And we said, hey, we stayed in a small town outside the city of Mallow, which is a small city nobody's heard of anywhere. And they're like, yeah, we're from a small town outside Mallow. And I was like, do you know where this little town is? And they were like, yeah, we grew up there. And I was like, no, you must know my friend. He had these very unique attributes. His father was a stamp collector. His mother was a therapist. They bred these gigantic dogs, and they lived in a very well-known house. And they're like, of course we know him. We're here visiting him. He lives around the corner. So we were extremely excited. We went into the house. He was sleeping. I splashed a pot of water on his face, and his friends were like, who is this random guy coming into our house throwing water on one of our guys? And he woke up, and he got tangled in his blankets. He's kind of a lanky, awkward guy, and he rubbed his eyes like a cartoon and saw who it was and immediately ran over and gave us a big hug. And it was just, you know, my friend, we became friends with all his friends. I wound up spending a lot of time in Dublin after that. And he and I went backpacking in the Balkans that summer. And we've stayed in touch constantly ever since. So that was a funny thing and a good thing.
What great cause do you feel strongly about?
I am a big believer in clean energy technology. I would like to see more cars off the road, a more densely populated country that's orbiting cities and small towns rather than suburban sprawl. I think the aesthetics of that would improve our country. And then I think that we're all interlinked in terms of how we treat the planet, and that we need to take a serious look on how we behave, what we consume, and what we expect from our politicians and corporate executives. So if there was something in the traditional vein of cause, I am an environmentalist.
Why did you choose research assistant as your line of work?
I didn't really choose that as my line of work. A professor really liked the work that I was doing in graduate school and asked me to come join the company that he worked for. Fortunately, it wasn't a phase of rapid hiring, so they took me on as a research assistant for now instead of a role that is more befitting of my experience and education. I like it. What I find most interesting about my work is I get to work on really big problems, and I think that the stuff that I'm doing, especially that I'll be doing today, will have a really big impact on how policymakers make decisions in the next 10 years on a certain issue.
If you had to choose a different career, what would you be? Why would you choose this career?
I'd probably be an architect, because I think about this a lot. I'm just a very creative person, and I like the visual arts, and every time I go to a city, or I look at a building, or go to somebody's house, I always think about how it was designed and why, and I'm really fascinated by the way cities work and the things that we build, and whether we build them because we want to interact a certain way, or we build them and because of that we interact a certain way as society. So I think it would be really great to live in a house that you designed by yourself. And I'm not going to design a house right now. It'd look like Homer Simpson did it, because I don't have the appropriate training or artistic skill. But if I had to choose another career and could go back in time, that's what I would do. So those two impossible factors, that's what I would do.
If you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what would you be doing?
Hopefully, I will be a diplomat with a nice family and just palpable happiness exuding every corner of whatever home I happen to live in.
Tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
I really like to cook, so for me, it's really fun to do that for somebody I have romantic feelings for. Getting to know somebody while you're doing something is always, and you get to express yourself creatively, I think is a very romantic evening. Of course, doing this on the beach under a huge full moon with a million stars, that's, you know, where we're going to do it, on an outdoor kitchen setting on a Caribbean island.
What qualities do you look for in a potential mate?
Somebody who is fun and flexible and intellectually curious, like me, but also is not into the same things as me.
What is the nicest thing you could do for your significant other?
I think everybody goes through periods in their life when they're unsure of who they are. They're unsure of what direction their life is going, and they're generally afraid. And I think if you can be there for somebody and support them through those times of personal emotional crisis, that's probably the best thing you can do for somebody.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
For the money, I'm not going to hold back. I graduated school with a very large debt load into a serious economic crisis, especially with sequestration and government cutbacks and somebody who wants to go into public service. It just wasn't an advantageous time, and I needed a financial buffer to get me through a period of unemployment. So for that, I'm very grateful. I'm also glad that I got to help somebody out.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
Just that I hope you can extrapolate a little bit about who I am as a person and my character from this interview and the paperwork that you have read, and that I hope the result of this is a wonderful, healthy, happy person who's well-adjusted and contributes to society.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 4330.